The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much for listening. Sometimes you could fall victim to no being the easiest answer. I've learned, yes, many and plenty of lessons that I've learned in my lifetime, I've learned that sometimes, not all the time, just sometimes, as Whitney Houston once said, sometimes, that means some times, sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. I know that there are certain rules, regulations, laws that we must uphold, must keep in order. As a sales associate in my professional life, I know that I'll never go up to someone and say, please steal from my store. Please take whatever you'd like, especially not on the clock, and especially not from the register. Trust me, it's happened. It was not the prettiest day of my lifetime. I'm never going to go up to someone and say, please take what you'd like. Please rob my store. But let's just say, como se dice, if someone were to come into my store, take a disc copy, a DVD copy of Morbius 2022, slip that discreetly into their backpack, leave with a smile, without me knowing, would that ruin my day? Well, no. It's kind of like if a queen slays in the woods and no one is around to gag, does it even boots? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, because you don't slay for everybody else. You slay for you. And that's what I've learned in my lifetime. What you don't know can't hurt you. What I do, the things that I do to handle my business, sometimes they don't need to be any of your concern. I was in a situation where I was brought onto this project, this multi-camera project for one of my multi-camera classes, and I was brought on as the creative director. So I was directing creatively. The scene was a school scene. The motivation was attention. And so I was saying, we are going to make a school that is so school, that is going to be so positively school. And I was saying, we need desk, we need poster, we need table, we need globe, we need chalkboard, we need anatomy, we need skeleton, we need solar system. And so these are all the things that I was bringing together. I was bringing this vision. The first thing that really came to my mind was Greer Garson's film, Her 12 Men, which is a movie about her being the only female professor at this all-boys school. And there was this one scene. I actually think about it like this. It's like film. It's like people. You know that expression where it's like, you don't remember what a person said. You might not remember what a person did, but you'll remember how a person made you feel. That's kind of me with movies. I might not remember exactly what you said. I might not exactly remember what you did. Honestly, truly, 100% of the time, I won't even remember what your character's name is. To me, you are Greer Garson. To me, you are Leonardo DiCaprio. To me, you are Angelina Jolie. To me, you are just Barbara Streisand. Sometimes I don't remember the name. I said Barbara Streisand did this to Robert Redford. Leonardo DiCaprio did this to Kate Winslet. Jack and Rose, I am unfamiliar with the artist. You might not remember who a character is. You might not remember what they do, but you'll remember how they made you feel. And I remember Her 12 Men. That movie made me feel, in a word, good. Ever heard of it? Ever heard of feeling good? And this scene, I do remember this scene because I did rewatch it. I was screenshot, because that was my reference photo. It was this one scene where these kids are in this class, they're playing shenanigans, they're doing tricks on Miss Sir. They call her Sir because she's the only female teacher, and it was really cute, very fun, very fly. And they said, Sir, I forget, what is that animal that flies in a cave? And in her transatlantic accent, Greer Garson says, a bat. And then she brings it back to the lesson because, you know, she's very focused on the lesson. She's a teacher, after all. And she says, back to the lesson, and the kid said, Sir, with the hand up, Sir, I forget, what do they have called in their mouth? And Greer Garson goes, fangs. And then they go, you're welcome. And I was inspired. I said, screenshot. Send the reference to the director. The director loved it. So all that to say, it was giving desk. It was giving picture. Oh, that's my beard. Let's put a pin in that for now. It was giving desk. It was giving picture. It was giving apple on the desk. And the director was loving it. So I was bringing all these pieces together, directing creatively, if you will. And I was saying, we need to get these desks, but we just didn't have these desks in the RCC. And so I was like, one way or another, I'm going to find you. I'm going to get you. And so I sent these emails out to some different people from the school board. I said, hello, my name is, we need desk. And they said, hello, thank you so much for your email. You should die. And I said, oh, right. They were saying, unfortunately, it's too close to exam. We cannot spare desk. You will not get desk. Thank you so much for wanting desk. Unfortunately, you will not get desk on this day. And I was saying, oh, okay. That was not the answer that I wanted. It's kind of just that thing where, you know, you go into things, you want that yes. You are waiting for that green light. As Lord said, approximately 7 years ago to my own ears at the Rogers Arena, as it once was called, I'm waiting for it, that green light. And when I was faced with that red light, I knew that it was just not my final destination. I knew that it was not my truth. Respectfully, thank you so much. That no that they were giving me, sometimes no is so much easier than yes. Really what they were saying was, I understand your concern. I see your concern. I do not share your concern of needing to ask. And so what they did not understand was, number one, that was not the answer that was going to be my final destination. That was a Fendi fact. I was not going to be creative directing, and then we were going to get rolly chairs with built-in desk on the side. What do you think this is? The bastardization of detention? Two-in-one shampoo and conditioner? Not on my watch. It's kind of just that thing where I'm not asking you to say, hello, here is a desk, and you could pick it up at this time. Would that have been nice? Well, sure. I would rather say, hi, can I please have a bite of your clementine? And then you give me your bite of your clementine, and we're kind of technically sharing a clementine. It's kind of like a picnic. Who does not like a picnic? I'm talking about the woven basket. I think we all can get behind a woven basket. But what I really was saying was, even if you don't give me a bite of your clementine, if I took a bite anyway, so what if I'm the monster that's been here all along? But also, it's kind of a discussion about, what if you have so many clementines that you won't even notice if a clementine is missing? Right. So what I was saying was, it's not that I'm asking technically for you to give me a desk. I'm just telling you, come Friday, because I sent this email on Monday. I said, hello, my name is We Need Desk. And they said, thank you so much, you should die. I was not asking you technically, please and help me get me a desk. And if you don't help me, I won't have a desk. I was telling you, come Friday, someplace, somewhere, you will be missing 6 desks. That's just the case and scenario. And so when they said, no, I'm sorry, I just knew it wasn't the answer that I was looking for. It's kind of like, okay, I'm waiting on an answer. Am I going to Hollywood? Am I getting the golden buzzer? And they said, unfortunately, you will not be going to Hollywood. They said, don't quit your day job. And really what that meant in my eyes was my name is Carly Rae Jepsen. And the no is Canada's Got Talent. Did you know that Carly Rae Jepsen was on Canada's Got Talent? And they said, nar. They said, nar. And Carly Rae Jepsen said, hello, I've got a diamond certified hit in the vault. Here's my number. It will be out of service to you. So what I had to do, I knew that come Thursday, I would have to rally the troops, and it was going to be a heist. It was going to be a night at the museum. And so we got our 4 people. We took our 6 desks from the Kerr Hall. Yes, I'm confessing to a crime. You know what? Take me out the back, shoot me, and call me ugly. Okay? We took 6 desks. We are academics. Sticky bandits, more like academic divas. The Avengers assembled to collect these desks. Who else is taking desks? Some people are snorting drugs. We're stealing desks. You and me were not the same. We took these desks, we got the desk, and at the end of the day, the set looked great. Good? Satisfactory. I thought it was good. The director was content. The bystanders, the extras, the who's it's and how's it's, the who's who of who is that? They liked it. Compliments all around. We got a nice hot shot, a celebrity of my eye, who came down and says, these desks really bring it all together. And I said, they do, don't they, huh? Right. I see that. I raise that. Love that. Love pink. That wasn't my only contribution to that shoot. I was brought on as the creative director, aka I was directing quite creatively, getting those desks, putting up the anatomy, solar system, skeleton, globe, ever heard of it? Reading is fundamental. And also, the director said, would you be interested? Would you be open? Would it be possible if you could be an extra with no lines? You would just sit in a desk while the actors talk. And I said, yes. Sometimes, you know what? No is okay. But you know what's even better than no? Yes. I want it to be the yes that she needed. Because I know that sometimes you're like, who can help me with? I need audio. I need camera. I need font. I need editor. And then this person, you ask this person has a lunch. So everyone always got a lunch. Someone's got a lunch, someone's got a dinner, someone's got an obligation, someone's got a late shift. Who wants to be an unknown actor? So I said, hello, my name is, and I will act for you. Unknown acting, I could do that. No lines, I could do that. Sometimes you want to be the yes to someone else's request, which is kind of funny because if anyone was listening to the first episode of the Scene Bomber podcast, I know that I said, yes, tied my shoelaces at the door. Yes, has me going to Mexico. Yes, has me in a motel with blood stained on the carpet. Yes, has me changing my name to Robert, but you call me Bob. Yes. Yes, there will be some casualties. Yes, people are going to die, and that's, like, terrible, but, like, inevitable? Yes. Well, yes. Okay. Well, yes. Yes can do crazy things. Yes can sometimes be a punishment. Sometimes when you say yes to the wrong thing, I said this. Well, yes, when put in the wrong situation, when misused and miscontextualized, well, yes can be quite dangerous. Because what I realized was, yes is a door. No is a closed door. Yes is an open door. Closed doors mean you're closing yourself off to the possibilities of what can be. You could either have Greer Garson, or you could have a goblin on the other side. When you say no, that means you're not rolling the bar on whether you're going to have Dua Lipa or dual demons behind that door. But when you say yes, I mean, whatever's behind it is on you, but at least you're adventuring. At least you're taking a step out of your box. Here's what I said. Here is the expression that I used in one of my Teeny Bopper podcast vault episodes. I've been recording so much episodes in the vault. If you ever hear an episode about I'd Love Selena Gomez's Revival Tour, or The Latest Coming by Ariana Grande is one of the most audacious singles in pop music history. If you hear one of those, the vault has been opened. Here's what I said in the vault. I said, when you open a can of worms, sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, why did I open that can of worms? But really what opening a can of worms means is you are committing yourself to an adventure, to catching a big fish. You open that can of worms when you want to go out in the water in your canoe, line your bait, line your hook, or whatever they say in fishing. You put that worm on the fishing line and you toss that line out in the water and you hope to catch a big one. That means that you're opening yourself up to opportunities. So sometimes it can be scary when you are opening that can of worms because you don't know if you're going to have a successful day. You don't know if you're going to waste all your time on the water. You don't know if you're going to, you know, get bitten by a shark or catch just a small little tuna. You don't really know what you're signing up for when you really bait that hook. But at least you are committing yourself to go out on the water and try to see what you could find. So, I mean, pick your yes and no's as wisely, because sometimes no can be very powerful, and you need to know when to utilize that. No is a superpower, the same way that yes is the door to opportunity. And that is kind of what I've learned. You know, well, yes, well, no, use them sparingly, really consider it, and try to make the best of choices that you can. And I think that's what we're trying to do. Make the best choices that you can. So she said, would you like to be an actor with no lines? And I said, well, yes. And so I was excited. Because one thing that I could do quite excellently, I know that I could sit in a chair. That's no question. Sit in a chair with my hoodie on, looking out, listening with an open heart. Don't make me laugh. Girliana, I'm overqualified. Look at the resume. I'm sitting right now. Ever heard of it? Ever heard of taking a seat? I've done it once or twice. And so one day before, when we were taking these desks, when we were the Academic Divas, committing a heist, when we were committing that heist in Kerr Hall, I said, just to confirm, I don't have any lines, right? And she said, actually, about that, you currently have a monologue. And I said, oh, okay. Because she was under time. So she had to fill in 5 minutes to make this a 30-minute show. And she was under time. And so I said, sure. I said, well, yes. Because she said, I need someone to act crazy. I need someone to act kooky. It needs to be a little bit cuckoo banana. And I said, you know what? I think I could serve that to you. With one day to spare, reading that teleprompter, I gave it everything I got. Hit me with your best shot. Hit me with your best shot. And I think I did. I tried my mightiest best. I sat in that chair. I gave kooky. I gave fun. They just sent me the video today. Honestly, what is it about cameras that I like some of the Gaga songs, but what does she know about cameras? What is it about cameras that you have to do more than you think you have to? Because in that moment, I thought I was acting I thought I was acting so crazy boots. And then I watched it back and I was like, I think I could have turned it up a little bit. I think I could have been eyes bigger. Alyssa Edwards, bigger. Bigger. But I think, I mean, the director was happy. The room was giggling, smiling. I was giggling, smiling. I was having a little bit of a holler. I was dying to feel that free enough to act crazy. It's kind of like when you see someone, let's just say, with nothing to lose outside, sometimes downtown, and you think, you know what? It must be such a trip to be so careless. And in that moment, to act so careless, to have the big eyes and the big groans and the big growls, it was powerful. That's kind of what I mean when I'm like, girls, I want to feel free. Did I feel like the monkey in the cage, having everyone watch me while I oohed and awed, ooh, ooh, ah, ah, and everyone was watching me like, look, he's scratching his armpit. Well, yes, I did feel like an animal in a zoo. But I mean, at least I was getting attention. I mean, I did it for the plot. I did it for the goop. I did it for the gag. I did it for the trick. I did it for the trade. And that was just the case and scenario on that. That was a great shoot. Creative directing. Directing creatively. It looked like a classroom. Anatomy, solar system, desk. Six desks were found. Six desks were returned. That's a thing. What you don't know can't hurt you. If I don't seal it in front of your eyes, you won't even notice it's gone. Because as far as I know, were there six students doing exams that did not have desks? I didn't hear about it. I don't hear about anyone frowning, anyone displeased, anyone deeply angered. I think no one was hurt. Just like I said, something's lost, nothing's lost, something's gained. And living every day. It was a fun shoot, and then it went on to another shoot the next day. I've been having so much fun working on more creative projects. I've been open to doing more projects because this semester I've been so tied together with this one project that I was so hands-on with. And it was such a trip because I was so hands-on, but the final product was so out of my hands. And that was such a trip. And that taught me, girl, so much. So much. I learned so much. And the thing about learning a lesson sometimes is these lessons are hard pills. They are not pleasant to learn. No! Some of these lessons are not pleasant to learn in the very slightest. But you know what? I learned certain lessons that I need to learn. And I think the first lesson that I learned in that situation where I was, you know, spending a couple months on this project that I felt like I was kind of reaching for, trying to push in a certain direction, wondering, are certain things being compromised? Is the quality being compromised? Is it moving forward in the right direction? I asked someone this one question. I was like, what should I do with this project that I don't know if it's in line with my personal taste? And I don't know if it's going in the... in service of the things that I think that it should. And someone told me, he said, you do these things so that you can learn. These things are learning opportunities. In that moment, I realized, hello, my name is Mustafa Cowan. I am 19 years old, nearing 20 in less than a month. I'm doing these things so that I can learn. And I think as much as that project was, girls, as much as that car crash, well, Freudian slip, as much as that project taught me a lot, you know, as much as that project was, it taught me a lot. That is the period I've been looking forward to working on some other projects. And what that project really taught me was that I want to work on my own stuff. I've been loving doing Teeny Bopper this semester. I have been enjoying it. I've been wondering if I should have done weekly episodes because I know I have so much that I want to say. I'm speaking so fast because 25 minutes is truly, well and truly nothing when you have something to say. I've been enjoying this. I've been wondering if I should have done weekly episodes of the Teeny Bopper podcast because I have so many episodes in the vault that I could have been putting onto Spirit Live. And I thought, and the thing about Teeny Bopper is, I think I thought that, kind of like Beyonce's Renaissance visuals, I thought I expected, like, the way that we are the visuals, the fans are the visuals, I thought that the quality of Teeny Bopper was going to be the promotion of it itself. I've been going around saying, I have a podcast. And everyone's been saying, yes, you do have a podcast. And so, you know what? It's just been exciting. It's kind of like that thing where it's just a CD that lives on in a library. The Teeny Bopper podcast is just something where I know that if it found an ear, that ear would heavily enjoy it. But I have been excited to hear some feedback that I've gotten. And one of the most exciting things that I've gotten actually happened on Friday, the day that I did that little shoot where I was monologuing the house down boots. Someone came up to me. I was setting up flats for this shoot that I was doing the next day, which was so fun. I was a camera op. Someone came up to me and they said, hello, my name is Spirit Live. Kind of just like they came up to me and they said, hello, I am... my name is Radio Rebel. It was like seeing Radio Rebel in the flesh. She said, okay, I'm Spirit Live. And I was like, oh my gosh. I won't say her name because she's probably the first one to listen to this podcast. If you are listening to this, just know that you absolutely made my day. She said, my name is Spirit Live. And I just have to say, I love your podcast. And that was enough to send me home with a smile. And then later on the next day, the director of this project that I was working on. So I was a camera op, and this was also a wonderful shoot. I had so much fun working on this shoot. It was a concert. I was shooting these beautiful, beautiful people. There was so much freedom. They said, shoot whatever you want. We'll take it. We won't take it. If we don't take it, move on to something else. If we take it, move on to something else. And there was so much freedom with that. I got to do my favorite thing ever when I'm holding a camera. I got to get low to the floor. I get to go high in the sky. I get to find a fun angle, put it on a good framing, make it look good, send it out. Maybe it makes the air. Hopefully it makes the air. Hopefully they love it. And I think they did. The director seemed quite content. But also the director was calling me. She was calling me Teeny Bopper. She said, hey, Teeny Bopper. And in that moment, I was saying, we're going worldwide. Teeny Bopper is going worldwide. Don't you understand that this is how the propaganda is starting? Don't you understand that this is how my name is spreading? First, it's Hello Teeny Bopper. Tomorrow, it is Teeny Bopper on your t-shirt. Teeny Bopper in your headphones. Don't you understand that this is the Teeny Bopper revolution? Teeny Bopper world domination sooner than you think, I think. And so that was exciting. Also, you know what was also exciting? I think there was so much camaraderie on the set. You really got to talk to anyone about anything. And I thought that was so fun. And so someone came in. They were wearing a New York Yankees hat. And of course, I had to say, New York Yankees? Baseball? I know a thing or two about baseball. So of course, I had to say the two baseball players that I knew who were, as I later found out, coincidentally Yankees. Derek Jeter? Ever heard of him? I had to say, what do you know about Derek Jeter? And they went, Derek Jeter! But little did they know, I only knew Derek Jeter because of Mariah Carey. Has anyone in this room heard My All? Has anyone here heard 4th of July? Has anyone here heard The Roof, Back in Time? Has anyone here heard Lullaby? Did I do that? Crybaby. Hello? Hello? I mean, this man has inspired some of the best music that has ever been released ever of all time. I mean, can we talk about, here's a conversation that I want to talk about. Hello, my name is Girly Pop Podcast. Can we talk about the evolution from My All to Did I Do That? I was actually thinking about my Rainbow episode that I released that only one person ever listened to, and her beautiful name is Nika Bakhtiari. That episode of the Teeny Bopper Podcast, the Girly Pop Podcast that I released about the Rainbow episode, that was one of my favorite episodes that I ever did. Honestly, truly, of the Girly Pop Podcast, it was the only episode that I ever did. But I was listening to that album the other day, and it's just a story. There's a story from top to bottom. Does anyone want to get up off their ass and talk about the story in the Rainbow album? Hello? Hello? I mean, I was listening to it on the way home, and I got to Did I Do That? And I was like, whoa! This is one of the best songs I've ever heard in my whole entire life! This is the Smack Cam! Hello? Hello? Oh my gosh, I would read the lyrics if I had time. Groundbreaking, mesmerizing, never, ever, ever had it ever been done before. Hello? That's a sidebar conversation. And I think very quickly I want to have this last conversation about something that has been a new development for me. That is my beard. My beard has grown out longer than I've ever grown it out before. This is new for me. Lingerie, this is something new for me. We need to have a conversation about the beard. One person said, you look good, and it changed my life. One person said, you look good, and now this is who I am. You think I feel normal walking around these halls with this shrubby little bush? Let my people go. My name is Moses, and I tell you, Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Oh, baby, let my people go. Ooh, ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Who else did church camp? Church camp was actually some of the most fun moments of my life. Let's put a pin in that, just in case you do hear a Teeny Bopper episode about church camp. Excellent moments. I got a beard going on, and it's interesting to think because I didn't want to. The reason why I was like so against having a beard. I know this is not a visual podcast. You could see the cover art chart by the fantastical Nika Bakhtiari, and you could see my usual fresh shaven face because I believe I shaved right before that shoot, and I think you can maybe even see, if you inspect your gadget enough, you could probably see some razor cuts and burns and such and so forth. I usually don't let the hair on my... This is the most that I've ever grown my beard. Because I was so conscious of aging myself up when I've already grown up feeling so, so prematurely aged, despite the circumstances. Being Middle Eastern, I think I had hair before everyone else. I grew so much taller than everyone else so much sooner. I grew up thinking, ugh, I'll never be on Disney because I'm literally an ogre. And so I didn't want to grow a beard because I thought, I'm 19 years old, I'm 18 years old, I'm 17 years old. I want to feel like it. And I was tired of being stopped on the bus before I was 12. I'm tired of being seen as I'm 27, 28 in a room of people my age who look 16, who look 17. I grew up envying that. And so I thought, if it means that I could hold on to a few ages younger, if it means that I could act my age for the few moments that I actually can be a teenager, I wanted to hold on to being freshly shaven and having that clean face. And then, of course, someone had to spoil it all by saying something stupid like, you look good. And now here I am. I am an ogre. I am a beast. I am Simone Biles. Hello, my name is. It's weird to think because one of my earliest memories, I was about 5 and I remember my father's scratchy beard when he would hold me like affectionately or he would give me a kiss and I would feel his beard on the side of my face and it would scratch. You hear that? And I remember it was this weird thing where it was such a sensation that I loved because of course you were being embraced affectionately and I remember laughing so much, but I remember being like, your beard is scratchy. And with that being one of the earliest memories of my life, it's been interesting to think that now, what is it, some 15 years later, in a weird way, I've been feeling the passage of time so much recently. I think it's because, you know, hello, my name is Teeny Bopper. This is the Teeny Bopper podcast. I mean, it's a Teeny Bopper podcast and I'm halfway out the door. My birthday is in less than a month. I think three weeks up to this point. I think when this episode comes out, maybe a week after, I'll be turning 20. And I've been feeling time so tremendously. I mean, I'm sitting on the bus at approximately 3:20 and I'm seeing all these kids, these high schoolers come on. They flood on the bus and they tell their jokes and they tap each other and they laugh at each other and they say, shut up. And I'm like, I used to be you. What do you even know about being a teenager? Hello? This used to be my life. I'm like a grown man yelling at a cloud. Did you not know that I used to be just like you? Do you not know this is my destiny? What's up, fellow kids? It's weird because it's like, I feel like so much has passed me by already. I feel like I've already lived so much life at 19 years old, nearing 20 years old. Old man yells at cloud. It's weird because I'm like, there is this resentment for you sit on a bus and there's a bunch of high schoolers that come on and you're like, whoa, I used to be you. Did you know that? This used to be my life. Haven't you heard? I guess with the passage of time being so, so, so crazy, I've been like, it's weird. I feel more like the father than the son, if that makes sense. Putting myself in that situation with my father when I was about 5 years old, I feel more like my father than I do that boy that I once was. I feel more like the man than the child. And it's such an interesting turn of events in my life to feel on the opposite side of that. I feel like, especially after coming out of my teenage years going into being 20, I said, girl, never not me. That will never be me. That can never be you. But here I am, once again, feeling lost, but now and then I breathe it in to let it go. 19 turning 20 with my father's beard, my father's scratchy beard. And it is strange to think that I found myself here. But I mean, the bottom line is it feels good. It looks good. It is good. You see how time flies? That's 25 minutes up. That's 25 minutes down. Honestly, I just had to return the keys to the EDC, and then they came here and they clocked me. They said, excuse me, you just returned these keys and you are still in room. And I said, for a matter of fact, I did return these keys, and I am still in room. Can I please get 2 more minutes? That's 25 minutes. I think that is 3 episodes up, 3 episodes down, 1 season of the Teeny Bopper podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I think I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot. Me and my beard, we've seen some things. We've learned. We've grown. And I think we've had fun, for now. Hello, my name is Mustafa Cowan. I'm the Teeny Bopper. XOXOXO. Back to you in the stew.